You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mom made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. It's the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we want to thank you for making this part of your daily routine. This is a Tuesday, so Tuesday has no feel. It's just Tuesday. It's a day. It means nothing. It's your first day at work because you blew off Monday listening to our podcast. So happy sort of beginning to your work week. We're the Rain and Jays, John Corrales of MassLive.com, joined by the kid, Jay King of The Athletic. Here to talk a little bit about some of these Kyrie rumors, trying to get Jay's perspective on that. It was our first opportunity today on Monday to talk to some of the Celtics pre-draft work participants, and we got a little conversation with Austin Ainge about the process, and we'll talk about that in our second segment. In our third segment, Greg Oden was in town working out with these guys as a sort of coach, but also getting on the floor and scrimmaging with these guys. I had a brief conversation with him. We'll talk about that in our third segment. All of this is brought to you by our three sponsors today. Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. Grip Six Belts. Today's show brought to you by them as well. Ultra Late. No holes, no flap. It is a great Father's Day gift. Go to grip6.com. That's the number six, grip6.com/lock for a special offer. And all of you new listeners, please subscribe to the show. Get it on your phone, on your device every day by subscribing on the new Himalaya podcast app. Free, super easy to use. Every single Locked On podcast and other podcasts that you love or are searching for on here. And you can get personally curated playlists made just for you by the expert tastemakers at Himalaya. So download Himalaya today. Jay King, I talked a little bit a little bit about some of these rumors. People are kind of weighing in. Jeff Goodman saying, I'd be surprised if Kyrie Irving stays in Boston. Other reporters saying that the Celtics are exploring their non-Kyrie avenues. I talked a little bit about it on yesterday's podcast, but let's get your take. What are you thinking? How are you feeling about the momentum of these rumors?
I mean, at this point, I don't think anyone knows. Maybe Kyrie does, but obviously the Celtics are going to explore every avenue potentially that they could follow. And right now, one of those involves Kyrie Irving leaving. And another one of those involves Kyrie Irving leaving and them not getting Anthony Davis. And in that case, things will get weird. And so they have to plan for everything. Front offices plan from A to Z. And if this happens, then that. If that happens, then this. They go through everything. I do think, I mean, there's still a lot of time here until July 1st. There's still a lot of time, 2.5 weeks until the draft, when the Anthony Davis stuff will really start to buzz. So there's a lot of time for teams to gather intel, for players to make decisions, for people to change their minds, for free agency meetings to happen, for trade negotiations to happen. And one thing we know about the Celtics is they explore everything, and they're not always going to pull the trigger on trades. Danny Ainge, for all his reputation as this trigger happy guy, doesn't always do that, but he's always, always well prepared for what could potentially happen.
Yeah. And I'll just reiterate some of the points that I was making there on yesterday's show.
I listened.
You what?
No, I didn't. I'm just kidding.
No, I was going to say. That doesn't make any sense. When you're a reporter, you have to kind of go with what you just go to the sources that you have, go to whichever well that you can dip into and get whatever information you can. And the fact is that very, very few people are plugged in with Kyrie Irving. And a lot of those people aren't really saying much. I mean, the most I've heard is disputing things. Like Jackie McMullen is as plugged in to Kyrie as anybody. And even I'm not 100% sure exactly how plugged in she is, but when she says Kyrie's not going to Los Angeles or she feels strongly, I feel pretty comfortable in saying that that's Los Angeles. At least the Lakers is probably out. But other than that, I don't think he's tipping his hand, and maybe he's made it known to somebody in the Celtics, possibly, and they're operating under that assumption. But as of right now, just nobody knows. And the way I take it is you have to prepare for everything. And the one thing that I find interesting is this notion that Goodman put out there, and that I actually have heard separately, is that if Kyrie leaves, not exactly a ton of tears being shed in the Celtic on the Celtic side, that Kyrie over the course of this past season hasn't become, I guess, indispensable, or what's another good way to put it, that he's kind of
beloved,
worn out his welcome a little bit. Like maybe he's just, whatever it is, it's probably a little difficult having Kyrie on the team, and they want Kyrie back in the sense that they need an elite player, and it's better to have an elite player that's a little difficult than to have not elite players that are nice. But at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if some in the organization are like, you know, it sucks. He's a good player, but they're not like crying about it.
And I do want to temper that with the truth that this year was tough on everyone.
Sure, and absolutely.
It impacted guys in different ways. And the Celtics had, like, everyone was excited after last season. From Kyrie on down, everyone was excited. And so the whole vibe around the team, it wasn't just Kyrie. And so I do think that needs to be mentioned too, that for whatever talk there is about Kyrie wearing out his welcome or not being the easiest guy to deal with this past season, it was everybody. This year was tough on everybody. It wasn't just him.
Sure. I don't want to make it sound like we talk about specific players on this podcast, and maybe because at this certain time we're talking about a certain player, and it may come off as we're putting all of the blame on somebody. We just happen to be talking about Kyrie. And I don't know that this is...
You put the blame on me. Was that Akon?
I don't know. I just laughed at your singing.
I think it was Akon.
You're spot on with your Akon, Jay. You're right there.
Yeah, beautiful voice, too.
Oh, I mean, angelic, really. It was more nervous laughter at just how awesome it was, is what
voice from the gods.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I don't know, like there, when we say there are people in the Celtics organization, like this is like, I've heard that, but I mean, that could mean anybody. That doesn't mean any one person, or it doesn't mean, I don't know exactly who it means, but like you even had, Wick Grosbeck coming out and saying this was a hard team to like. So it's not exactly a secret that certain aspects of the season didn't go well and were not enjoyable. So if Kyrie comes back and they get Anthony Davis, or even if they don't and they come back and all of a sudden next season goes better because there are a few things that could be different, then, well, look, when you're winning, things are better, and maybe lessons are learned and people learn to get past certain things. I don't know. But it's not to say that if he's being pushed out the door either. There is some sentiment that, you know, things have been difficult, and you're right. It's been difficult for a lot of people. So all of this is to say that there's just a lot of rumors, and I'll reiterate my fact that I just want to move past all the rumors and just know. Let's just get this over with and know. But we're still 26 days away from
it's rumor season, baby.
Yeah, well, it's rumor season. And then, you know, Kyrie's back on Instagram, which makes it all that much more fun. Kyrie back on the gram, ending his social media silence. So get ready for a whole bunch of that shit.
Big day.
Big day. Huge, huge day. Huge day at the Boston Celtics practice facility, where we congregated again for the first time, well, since our media game, but for work for the first time in a little while. Celtics worked out six guys. We'll talk about that and what Austin Ainge had to say about developing players and trying to figure out what players have when we come back on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Pre-draft workouts, or as Austin Ainge put it, tryouts, which is really more accurate way to say it. But pre-draft workouts, as we all know them, were held today. Six of 70 different players throughout the entire process showed up today. Admiral Schofield of Tennessee, Jason Burnell of Jacksonville State, Jordan Bone, Tennessee, Malik Yarborough of Illinois, O'Shea Brissett of Syracuse, and Ty Jerome of Virginia. So those guys all worked out. None of those guys are going to be – okay, a couple of those guys may be first-rounders, could be first-rounders. Schofield and Jerome have the potential, but most mock drafts that I've seen have those guys in the second round. So let's start with that. 70 guys. They're just really running through a whole lot of guys and trying to get really across the board as many different draft positions as they can to come in, because as Austin Ainge said, it's not really just about this year's draft. It's about getting guys in, building relationships, because you never know in 3-4 years if this guy's been playing overseas or if he's gone somewhere else and becomes maybe a restricted free agent, that you have a relationship, you can track this guy, and maybe you can rekindle something, and something materializes down the road.
It's funny because Austin Ainge gives the media availability at every year at pre-draft workouts.
Yeah.
And every year it's the exact same conversation. So you guys have a lot of first-round picks. It's probably not likely that you'll keep all of them, right? Well, maybe, you know, there are some paths that we could, and then it would make it more feasible. And there are others where we'd trade them or use them on overseas guys. And, oh, okay. But like, have you talked to guys about maybe being a draft and stash? Well, yeah, but the guys don't really want to do that until maybe closer to the draft, and then maybe they'll do it. And then you never know. So it's like every year we hear Austin Ainge say the same things, and what it really is they are working out everybody, trying to get a little more intel, and Austin Ainge will never tell us anything beyond the very surface of what they're doing. And it's so funny how I could have scripted the entire conversation, except the one question you asked where he revealed that they have tried to get shooters to switch hands.
That's awesome.
Bad shooters to switch hands to see if they could potentially do it down the road and to shoot underhand like they're Ollie from Hoosiers or something. thank you, John, for spicing that up a little bit, but the rest of it, just classic Austin Ainge pre-draft workout talk.
Happy to do my part. I like that, you know, because all I wanted to know was what do they look at to say, well, this worked for a guy in college, but it's not going to work in the pros. Because we've seen that a bunch. We've seen guys have great college careers, get to the pros, and it doesn't work. And I just kind of wanted to get to the heart of, well, what is it about a player, just speaking generically, you say, well, if he's got this sort of thing happening, then that's not going to work in the NBA. I use the low release point as an example, but that's what spurred the, he said, well, we've done some crazy things, and if a guy's shot is too busted, we're going to go ahead and see if he can go shoot with his left hand, which is hilarious. Can you imagine being a guy coming in, especially at this level? It's like you've got Brooklyn tomorrow, Houston the next day. You're going crisscrossing the country, and here come the crazy-ass Celtics saying, hey, why don't you start shooting with your other hand?
I would call my agent immediately and be like, don't let me get drafted by the goddamn Celtics. They're going to make me shoot like Ollie from fucking Hoosiers.
The obvious joke here is that maybe Ben Simmons should have been drafted by the Celtics. He would have shot with his correct hand. Ba-dum-tsh. All right. Thank you very much, everybody. Try the veal. But yeah, he did say that all of these guys that they did try the weird shit with, that they didn't actually draft any of those guys. So maybe they're just messing with him. Because he was just like, yeah, you know, whatever. They look at us like we're crazy, but we try it. I know, it's interesting. It's interesting to see how this pre-draft process works. They wouldn't let us, obviously, down there to see it. They do the big, vaunted three-minute run, which is just basically how many sprints can you get up and down the floor in 3 minutes. I don't know what the record is. He mentioned the record, but I forget what the record is.
Some dude from Northeastern has had it for years, and Austin brings up his name every year, and I forget his name now.
Jay King, very enamored with the pre-draft process.
I love it. We get to talk to guys who will probably never play for the Celtics.
I loved Admiral Schofield, who was just like, yeah, you know, I want to prove that I'm more than just the guy who looks like a bodybuilder. This guy's huge. It was kind of,
I'm a beast, bitches.
Another beast that showed up at the practice facility was Greg Oden, who surprisingly was there to work out with the Celtics. He is looking to get into coaching. We'll talk about that when we come back on the Locked On Celtics podcast. The Celtics need a little help on the floor with their pre-draft workouts, and one of the guys that they called was Greg Oden, who knows, maybe will become a Celtic at one point here as a coach, the guy who would have become a Celtic potentially if the Celtics had gotten the maybe second pick in the draft. He is, you know, obviously you know the Greg Oden story. If you don't, he was a stud from Ohio State, was in the same draft as Kevin Durant. A lot of people were saying you should draft Greg Oden first. Back then, we didn't know exactly what Kevin Durant would be, but I know the Celtics basically said they would have drafted Kevin Durant. So if they had gotten the second pick in his draft, Oden may have become a Boston Celtic. He blew out his knees. He had problems, microfracture surgeries, blah, blah, blah. His playing career was over. Sadly, and now 31 years old, he's coming back. He spent the past few years helping out at Ohio State, and he says he has caught the bug. He wants to coach. He wants to work with guys. He wants to be on the floor with guys and help them out, which I think is super cool because for a guy like him who really was supposed to be maybe trying to figure out his last big contract if everything had gone the way it was supposed to, finding this way back into the NBA would be really cool, I think, to see him out there working with guys and showing them some things. And even though he didn't play, he's learned a lot of things along the way. I think it'd be really cool to see Greg Oden out there in a coaching role.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he had obviously just a sad journey from an outsider's perspective. I mean, he was supposed to be the next great center, And I can remember him playing Al Horford in the national championship game and absolutely dwarfing Al Horford. Just a monster compared to Al Horford. And then obviously injuries took all that away. I think he had some alcohol issues, if I remember that correctly. I think I read about that. And seems like he's getting back into the things. And it's cool, too, because I think Brad Stevens has known Greg Oden since he was in high school. Because he's an Indiana guy. Mm-hmm. And so Brad Stevens has known him for a long time. Obviously, there's the Ohio State basketball connection with Thad Matta. Is he even still the coach there?
I don't think so.
Yeah, he got fired, I guess. So no Thad Matta connection. But the Brad Stevens, Greg Oden connection, I think it's cool that, you know, years later after Brad Stevens would see Mike Conley and Greg Oden play in high school, that Greg Oden is coming to help out the Celtics in draft workouts. I also want to know, like, did Admiral Schofield try to dunk on Greg Oden?
That's questions now for tomorrow when we get to, or later today when you listen to the podcast, to get there and see what Greg Oden's involvement really was.
Is Al Horford posting up Greg Oden?
Now we're getting somewhere. I'd like to see that.
Are Aaron Baines and Greg Oden just running into each other and seeing what happens?
I probably would advise against that because of,
by the way, I was woefully unprepared to talk about Greg Oden. I don't know why. Well, I just haven't thought about Greg Oden in a while.
Well, nobody has, really.
Yeah.
Until I saw him today at the practice facility. I wasn't expecting to see him at the practice facility, but there he was. You know, I was, in full disclosure, I was leaving. I was done for the day, and I bumped into him, and I was like, oh, hey, what are you doing here? And he explained that, you know, the Celtics asked him to come out. So I was able to talk to him literally for like 2.5 minutes, just the quick conversation. So, I mean, as much as I'd like to say I've got all my sources and like, oh, I knew Greg Oden was going to be there. Like, no.
Hey, you had the balls to ask him for an interview.
I mean,
boom.
You had to. Like, it's Greg Oden. When Greg Oden steps into an elevator with you, it's like, well, shit, I got to talk to Greg Oden about something. So, and
it's also kind of crazy, like, just when you think about 10 years ago, 12 years ago now, that everybody, including the Celtics, were tanking for the Greg Oden, Kevin Durant draft. And now Kevin Durant's team is in the finals and Greg Oden is working out players for the Celtics. Like, it really is like you couldn't have ever envisioned what would happen and how drastically different the careers for those two guys would be. And now Greg Oden bumping into John Corrales in the elevator.
I mean, that was the draft where that was the disappointment. That was the draft. But if it doesn't happen this way, if Greg Oden had become a Celtic, then maybe there is no Banner 17, because who knows how that goes. Banner 17 only came because they missed out on that opportunity to draft Oden or Durant. And so they traded for Ray Allen and they traded for Kevin Garnett and all that happened. So,
although if you remember at the time, Danny Ainge, and I don't know how truthful he was being, I think he said before that he could have still made the deal happen, but just not included half the pieces that he included.
Which deal? The Garnett deal?
The Garnett deal. Like instead of trading everybody on your roster for Garnett, then maybe more is possible, you know? Maybe you keep guys and you have an even better team. I don't know. But I remember him saying something about that.
Well,
as I said, woefully unprepared to talk about Greg Oden.
Well, we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants with the Greg Oden conversation, because it's the most exciting thing that's happened today. Clearly working out whoever they, you know, six random second rounders didn't float any of our boats. So it's Greg Oden. But I think it's cool, like, to hear him talk about spending a few years at Ohio State helping out. And it just kind of, like, all of a sudden just kind of, it works for him. Like, that's that scratches the itch. Like, and I think it's important to have that secondary path to the NBA. Like, okay, so it didn't work out. It wasn't meant to be as a player. But now, because you've got those NBA connections and you did spend 3 years in the league and generally a likable guy, when you say, hey, I want to get into the coaching, well, now something like this happens. You know, the Celtics needed a guy, and somehow they decided, like, hey, let's call Greg Oden. And there he was. He was on the floor. He was scrimmaging with guys. He was helping work them through things, and he was kind of, you know, coaching while he was playing against them. So it's really cool. And he said, and I think the coolest quote from him was when I asked him about why he got the bug, why he said, oh, wow, I really like this coaching thing. And he just basically said, seeing these guys get better and knowing that you helped them get better out there. I mean, that's a really great feeling. Like, okay, I'm too old or too whatever to play this game anymore. I can't play it. Not at this level. But I can help these guys and make them better. And when I see these guys get better, like, you know what? It's almost like a part of you is out there. And that's a really cool feeling. I mean, that's how you know somebody's really invested in coaching. He wasn't like he was saying, you know, I just kind of want something to do. Like, he really feels like a guy who's invested now in wherever he is, whatever he's doing, being on the floor and getting to work one-on-one with players, making those guys better is something that really speaks to him.
Oh, no doubt. So when I was probably 13, one of my buddy's teams won the AAU Massachusetts State Tournament. And back then, AAU, like, you had to win the state tournament to go to nationals, or you had to finish in the finals of the state tournament to go to nationals. It wasn't like it is now where there's a million teams at nationals. And I think back then it was basically like one or two national tournaments a year, and you had to qualify through the state tournament. Well, anyway, my buddy whose team, like, they were really freaking good, but their center was like, this was seventh or eighth grade. He was like 6'1", and he was small for that age group at the time. diesel kid, but he was small as a center, even in Massachusetts. They played Mike Conley and Greg Oden. And Greg Oden was a fully formed grown man already. It was just dunking on them. Mike Conley was just speeding past them. It Jesus. Might not have been seventh or eighth grade. It might have been ninth or tenth grade. And they just got ruined, absolutely ruined by young Greg Oden. So that's another Greg Oden story.
I feel like Greg
Oden. That I was woefully unprepared to tell.
But you told it. See? You're digging deep into the reserves. You're stepping up. I feel like Greg Oden's probably looked the same since fourth grade. Like, he looks younger today, actually, than he did when he was at Ohio State. He's just always looked like he's 35. So I can't imagine what it's like playing against him at that age. All right. That's it. That's the show. We'll be back tomorrow with something else to talk about, maybe. We'll figure it out, because that's what we do here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Remember, you could subscribe to the show on the new Himalaya podcast app. It's free, very easy to use, has every podcast you could be looking for and more. You can like and comment on the Himalaya podcast app, give a thumbs up and comment on individual episodes, or make shareable playlists. You can build a playlist by the episode, customize it like a playlist for songs, share it through social media, text, and email. So compile all of your favorite Locked On Celtics, and then share the podcast with everybody and tell them that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked On Celtics.